The last verse of the song that we sang stood out to me. I'll just read it here. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. I just thought it's a powerful verse. Do you see God as your maker, defender, redeemer, and friend? Friend is kind of the one I want to talk about tonight, how to titles intimacy with God and how we can draw near to God and he will draw near to us. James 4:8. Charlene and I were married a little over 6.5 years ago. I know we just went through a lot of introductions, so I'll try not to go into that too much. But I'm so blessed and so thankful for what God has done for us in our marriage. For me personally, the spiritual maturity and things that, the growth that I've had with my wonderful wife, our children, pursuing her when we're dating, we're just, you know, it doesn't take long for, at least not for me sometimes, to forget to pursue, to seek after, to go after, to just really, that feeling when you're dating. Writing cards, we used to write cards to each other. I was a youth leader when she started coming to church. And so she was in the youth and I was a youth leader. So I don't know exactly how it happened, but we ended up texting a little bit longer after I wasn't youth leader and I started to get more interested in her. And my dad found out about it. I talked with him about it and he said, don't text. Don't text. You talk to her when the time comes. But so we started writing cards to each other and would put those at the end of her road behind the stop sign and a little caveat. She'd run out there and get it and put one in there for me, and then I'd go get it the next day. So pursuing. But tonight, the big idea that I want to talk about, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it, a lot of you are, I'm sure you all are, and I think it's a true statement. I stand to be corrected afterwards if it's not. But our marriage will never go deeper than our intimacy with God. Is that true? I think it is 100% true. If we want closer marriages, you know, we're here to talk practically tonight and talk about techniques. But I'd like to encourage you, as was mentioned, to care for our own. I'd like to just encourage all of us here tonight to care for our own hearts, to seek God. Psalm 139, 1 through 4, you don't have to turn to that, I'll just read those verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. That's somebody that knows us intimately, not? That's somebody that knows everything beyond what we can as humans. He knows our thought before we even say it. God has complete and intimate knowledge of every single one of us. He knows every detail of our life, every action, and every thought. Do you ever tend to view God as a distant, mighty figure? I know I do, and I have. He knows about you. But you're just more of a side thing in his. He knows about you, but there's just so much going on. Do you ever feel that way, or is it just me? Do you ever feel like, yeah, God knows you, but God knows us, these verses and other places also. I also sometimes tend to view God more as a judge than as someone that you can intimately confide in. And I think there's a big difference there in how we view God, how he sees us. God's not distant. He's deeply personal. How is your relationship with God? A God that knows everything about you. It's deeply personal. Is it deeply personal, or is it a methodical kind of long, flat interstate relationship? I'd just like to just encourage you in that tonight and all of us. I was extremely encouraged myself to pursue God. So that's God. He knows us. And I'd like to think of the word intimate tonight. The description kind of that I'd like to draw your minds to is known and being known. Knowing and being known. So God, we just talked about how God knows us. He knows every detail about us. The reverse is us knowing him. How well do we know God? And briefly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but two barriers for intimacy with God that I felt compelled to share them anyways, and then we'll get into some practical things right after this. But known sin in our lives and disobedience will 100% hinder an intimate relationship with God. I think we all know that. 1 John 2, verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." That's how we know. We can not have an intimate relationship with God without obedience. In Genesis 3 in the garden, God came in the cool of the day to talk to find Adam and Eve, and he couldn't find them. There was a separation there because of disobedience. Sin broke that closeness in the garden, and it still does today for an intimate relationship with God. Just like Jesus came and restored it. Praise God for that, and we can have an intimate relationship with God today again. John 17:3 talks about eternal life. It, in essence, in my own words, it says that ye may know him, the only true God. This is eternal life, to know God. Knowing God is eternal life. The word know, knowledge, or known are found 1,486 times in the Bible. It seems like almost all scripture centers around the idea of knowing God and of conforming to his eternal will. I think that is pursuing. This Bible, this book, it's so full. We can learn so much. And the interesting thing is, for those of you that have maybe been believers for longer than I have, it's never ending. It's so fulfilling, and it's such a blessing. And at least for me, I just need encouragement sometimes to just remember to go back to it, pursue it, seek it, read it, learn, talk about it. That's pursuing an intimate relationship with God. This is the book that tells us about him and about us. Christianity is not just knowing about God, it's knowing him intimately and personally. And if we focus on this, if we focus on like ourselves, the first candle here, and we can leave here this weekend empowered and with a resolve to pursue God with our whole heart. Because we, at least if you're like me, we do, but it ebbs and flows a little. And if there's just one thought I can leave with you tonight, it's just, if you can leave here and just purpose in your heart to pursue God, whatever's on your heart, maybe there's a subject, find a concordance, however you can do it, pursue reading again and just recharge that. Focus on intimacy with God, and it will draw us closer to him, in turn help us love so much better, so much deeper, and so much stronger. And getting to the practical, a little bit more on the practical, intimacy requires vulnerability. Again, I'd like to think of intimacy as knowing and being known. We are already known by God, so knowing is what I'd like to talk about just now. And in the thought of knowing and being known, fully found out, nothing hidden, completely open, honest, nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to fear. Really think about that. Nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to fear. Completely open and honest, fully known, fully found out. That's the pursuit that we should have practically in our marriage. And also, I know that'll never happen with God, because there's a mystery there. But as we pursue, we become closer with him, and it draws us to each other, our spouses. Christian life. God already knows us completely, but intimacy grows as we know him more by seeking his heart, learning his character, and walking with him. Practical ways to do this in your marriage. Seek God first above all else. That's an easy statement to say, but practically, isn't it so much harder to do? I mean, do you find it a struggle, or is it just me? I know this, and I just want to do it. I just want to pursue God with all my heart and keep Him first. But life comes at you, and I resent that excuse, but I find it in my life sometimes. It takes a backseat at times. A practical way that I've done this recently, when I started studying for this topic, it ignited in me a desire to seek God more. And so I made a deal with a friend, and we put some cash on it, that I would seek God in the morning before work every single day for the next 6 months, for 30 minutes or more, or 30 minutes at least, at a minimum. And it's been difficult because there's times that it was extremely inconvenient, but it's been a tremendous blessing. And I'd just like to encourage you tonight, each one of you, I don't know what you need to do, I don't know your schedules, but maybe try that. Do something creative to force yourself. It's a tremendous blessing, or it has been for me. And it's so important. I mean, it's amazing that I'd have to do this when I understand how important it is to have a relationship with God and to seek Him first above all else. And the beginning of the day, it's helped me through the day many times. I've been so blessed by it. Find a way to bring alive the spark of learning about God in a fresh and exciting way. Another practical way to think about trying to speak to God in a more intimate way, I guess, to know Him and have Him know more about you. Again, He knows all about us, but doesn't He ask us to come to Him anyways with our feelings, everything that we have? A practical way, I had a friend from church that is serving in Kenya now, but he called me one morning and we were talking about personal devotions and things like that. And he said, you know, he was stressed out over the time before he went to Kenya. There was a lot going on, and in the business and just moving and getting passports and going all the way to Kenya with his family for 3 years. He said he started just talking to God in the truck. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, when I pray, I tend to have it's pretty formal. Is that just me? At least for me, I tend to pray formally as if it's, and that's good. God is, I'm not a fan of speaking to God as a buddy. Hey, buddy, can we talk? It's not, the respect isn't there. But how about talking to God as a friend a little bit more? Just maybe not even in a prayer way, but just talking while you're on the road. Hey, God, I'm pretty discouraged. I'm sad. I'm not sure why things aren't working out, and I feel angry. It's been a tremendous blessing for me, and I encourage you to try it. It's a little hard at first, but I think God wants that. I've found myself in tears. I think God hears that. So try it if you can. Try to just tell God in the most fully known way possible how you feel. Maybe it's about your spouse. Maybe it's about something at work. I think that's a practical way that has been a tremendous blessing to me. And it wasn't really something that it was easy for me to do right at first, but it's becoming easier. And God has spoken into my life through that. He's our friend. He cares. And He knows how we feel. And so often, I forget to take my feelings to Him in a vulnerable, honest way. Just let Him know how we feel. We know He knows, but explain it. Explain it to Him, and He'll guide your thoughts. He loves us so much. Another practical way that applies to both your spouse and to God is, which we've talked about this, it's the theme, but seeking. Seek your spouse. We talked about how to seek God in many ways. Just like intimacy with God grows when we seek Him first, intimacy in marriage grows when we choose our spouse above everything else, and this is next to God. But when we choose our spouse above everything else competing for our attention, is it just me, or does this seem like everything's competing for your attention these days? Our phones, our work, just everything. In the same way, if we make it a priority to keep God first in our marriage and do whatever it takes to, I mean, maybe it's not in the mornings for you, but however it is, to prioritize it and make sure it happens. The same way it happens with our spouse, the same way. There's so many things competing for our attention. He or she is there every day. You know they love you. You know they care about you. But somehow, at least in my life, sometimes I put them on a back seat, so to speak, a little bit. Other things come more important. This is not about a one-time I do. It's a daily I choose you. Practical ways to build this with your spouse. Rhythms that communicate priority. What is that? What does that mean? That means a lot of different things for different couples. For us, my wife likes to, we like to, in the evening after the children are in bed, just sit and talk on the couch about how the day was. These little things are easy to do, but they're also easy to not do. Just to forget and go to bed. You're tired, you shower, everything. Just whatever it takes to build a rhythm of communication that says, I value time with you. I value time with you. And it's a priority in my life because I love you and I care for you. Another one that has been relatively new, I went to a men's seminar. It was, I'm not sure how long ago, but the speaker there encouraged, it was for men, but he encouraged all of us men to go home and to lay our hands on our spouse and our children and to pray over them, for them, against the powers of darkness. Pray that he would put a hedge of protection over them and that God would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Because that speaks to me, it's really spoke to me, because it speaks of a deeper understanding of just what's being said. But ears to hear and eyes to see what's being communicated from the heart. And when I came home, we started to do that. And it has been a tremendous blessing in our marriage. It's just, I don't know, there's something about it. When you just pray for her or for him, there's a power there, I believe, and I encourage you to try it. Especially if there's something going on where maybe there's a little disagreement, maybe it's just discouragement or a bad day, or it's many, many times been such an encouragement for us in our marriage to just, can I pray for you right now, right here? And there's often tears in our eyes when we're done, and it's a tremendous blessing. Eyes to see and ears to hear kind of gives the thought of a heart posture. Just like, I don't know, there's things that are said that have an underlying meaning that's much deeper than what was said. I think you know what I mean. Sometimes things are said and you know what it's being said, but you know there's something underneath it. That is what an intimate relationship with God has done in my life and in my wife's. I think it's given us, and far from perfect, obviously, but eyes to see and ears to hear what's really being said, because God's in it. And he gives us that wisdom. Talk honestly and often. At this same marriage retreat or men's seminar that I went to, we had a time of prayer where they would give you a question and you'd go out into the woods. It was a beautiful place in Virginia. There was trails, and they encouraged everyone to go alone and stay kind of away from each other. And pray for what does God want for me? And so we did that. In one of those sessions, it was so clear to me that God was speaking into my life to be more vulnerable and to trust more. So I made those two words my words for the year. And I've been blessed in ways that are hard to express. Honest, unfiltered conversations with God deepen intimacy. So does honest, unfiltered communications with your spouse. Now, I don't know, I thought about this a little bit. Vulnerability as a man, I think there's some degree of protection I mean, I don't think, I'm not sure that we should just come home. Some of the ones that have been married here a lot longer than me can maybe answer this better, but just come home and every single care and just totally lay it on her. I not that kind of vulnerability necessarily. That's our burden to bear. But the vulnerability of how we feel in our heart about our life, where we're going, what we're struggling with, it's so important. Don't limit conversations to logistics or surface talk. Take moments to share how you feel. Take moments to share your heart. Maybe you're frustrated, lonely, or tired. Speak it gently, but speak it truthfully from the heart. And for men, for me, in our relationship, sometimes it takes some pushing from each other. Is that it? Are you sure? Tell me a little more. That has been such a blessing. Push with questions. Yeah, I want to hear more. Are you sure that's all? Whatever it is, push each other to get to the heart of what he or she is trying to say. And I think God wants that from us too. I think he wants us to come to him and just share our heart. And again, I've been using the word heart. Pursue their heart. Keep learning who they are. Keep learning who God is. We're never going to exhaust that, are we? Ever? The oldest people here, are we going to exhaust God? I don't think so. And it's so encouraging, such a blessing to learn something new in Scripture. In the seasons of my life when I'm having just such a good personal devotions and life, I mean, it's just a connection. You know what I'm talking about? You have those seasons, and then there's times where God feels kind of distant. In the seasons when God feels near, your morning devotions feel so good and refreshing, and you learn something new. God gives you a little nugget of something brand new it's exciting. So exciting. Stay curious. Ask new questions. Pay attention to the small details. Notice changes over the years. Who they were when you got married isn't the same as who they are today, unless you got married yesterday. It's easy to assume we know our spouses, but love deepens when we treat them as a mystery worth exploring again and again. Pursuing. And God's the same way. I mean, we know so many principles. If we're raised in a godly home, we know so much about how to do so many things. We've been taught. But there's so much more. Keep pushing. Keep reading. Intimacy with God or with her spouse is not automatic. It's built intentionally through priority, honesty, and pursuit. Priority, honesty, and pursuit. As you practice these rhythms with God, they naturally overflow into your marriage, creating a deeper bond built on love, trust, and shared growth. Another thing my wife does for me that has been such a good thing, and I just encourage us as well, she'll just ask me periodically, how's your devotional life? How's your walk with God? And she seems like she asks it when it's a little bit distant. I think she knows. She feels there's a little, it overflows, right? It overflows into your spouse, I think, where you are in your relationship with God in the seasons, the ups and downs. So do that for each other. That's caring. Encourage, what can I do to help you get your devotional life back to where, how are you feeling? Why is this? Intimacy requires pursuit. It's about time to close. We've talked about that throughout here, but we don't drift into closeness. We just don't. Pursuit is how intimacy grows with God and in our marriage. It's got to be intentional. It's got to be purposeful. And again, I think we're going to have seasons. I think we may as well acknowledge that. If there's somebody here that's cracked the code on just a peak all the time, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. So I think we can give ourselves a little grace, at least for me. There's seasons, but always pursue, continue to pursue. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's a promise. Pursuit is a daily choice, not a one-time decision. God pursues you, but also invites you to pursue him. The word pursuit is active, not passive. I find that in my own life, the expectations are that it's just going to go good. But it's active. It doesn't work that way. We have to pursue actively, regularly. Think of how we pursued our spouse when we were dating. Intentional, consistent, and creative. Did the creative leave after you're married for 6 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Should it ever leave? Are we still creative in pursuing our spouse? And also, we can be creative in pursuing God as well, I think. Figure out a way to make it a priority. We pursue by prioritizing time in his word, making space for prayers and silence. That's another thing we did at the men's retreat that has been a blessing to me. So talking with God in the truck when I'm not feeling good or wherever I can, when there's not people around to just share exactly how I feel. And then also just spending time in silence. I'm so amazed at how, if I don't try that, I can look back on the day and there was absolutely no time the entire day that was just spent in silence. I don't know, maybe I'm different. I tend to reach for my phone, call somebody, text somebody, email somebody, something. But how about just a cup of coffee or whatever you enjoy and just silence and ask God to speak through that time? Maybe have a pen and a paper. Ask a question, write a question on a piece of paper, and just ask God to speak into that question over the next couple months or weeks. Pursue, ask, want. It's such a blessing. Seeking his presence in worship, obeying what he says. Intimacy grows through trust. I think that's important in terms of, we know we can always trust God, but in a spouse relationship, it's important that when your spouse does share a vulnerable moment with you, that you don't, it's a delicate time, pray about it. Don't respond like I have already sometimes with a fix. Think about it, pray about it. Be cautious so that trust can be built and that can continue. Pursuit costs time, comfort, and distractions. That's what it costs. It's easy to think that good things come without a cost, but they don't, at least not in my life. Good things come with a cost, and pursuit and intimacy with God comes with a cost. Your time, your energy, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And it has the power to just empower your marriage, to just make it better and better. Just as we must pursue God to deepen intimacy with him, we must pursue our spouse to deepen intimacy in marriage. Love grows cold when pursuit stops with God and with each other. And to wrap up what intimacy, an intimate relationship with God does, it transforms. It transforms us. And if we can just leave with one thought here tonight, if you forget everything else, I think we all know this, but if you can just think, I'm gonna pursue God, and it's going to transform me. It's going to transform my marriage in some way, shape, or form. Closeness changes who we are. Intimacy shapes our character. The closer we are to God, the more we reflect his nature. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold him, we're transformed into his own image. That's not the entire verse, but that's the thought. We're transformed into his image when we pursue him. You can't spend time in his presence and stay the same. I don't think. Maybe that's not quite true, but I don't think it is. If we really pursue God with an open heart, we won't stay this. We can't stay the same. Intimacy empowers obedience. We don't obey to get close. We obey because we are close to God. Intimacy changes our desires, not just our behaviors. It changes our desires. That's amazing. And it also changes an intimate relationship with God when we're growing in our spiritual lives. Have you experienced this? I have. I see people differently, through a different lens. You can see your wife and your husband differently. It's so beautiful. When God works in your life and he gives you his love, you just see your spouse differently. And it's so awesome. It's something that only God can do. So intimacy changes our desires, not just our behavior. It also changes the way we see our spouse and each other, and really the people around us in this whole world. It's beautiful. So it transforms. Fruits of the Spirit. Intimacy produces fruit. It produces fruit. So exciting. Who doesn't love the idea of producing fruit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love. God is love. Again, like I said, I don't think it matters particularly how long we've been married. As we pursue God in the seasons of life, the ups and downs, it changes us. It gives us God is love. As his love grows in us, we learn to serve and sacrifice for our spouse selfishly. Selfishness is just not a fruit that comes from anything but God. Selflessness. I just tend to be selfish. Without God, I think that's our natural instinct. The more I pursue God, the more he helps me lay down self, and the more I can see my spouse differently, reciprocate that back and forth. It's just a tremendous blessing. So it produces love. Joy. Joy is a strength from God, not circumstance. It brings gratitude and gladness into our marriage. God does that. That's a transformational fruit of having an intimate relationship with God. It brings peace. Peace. There's a lot of things we don't have to be peaceable about in life today. There's a lot of things that could disrupt our peace, would be a better way to say it. War and just chaos. Social media is far from peace. The fruit of the Spirit of an intimate relationship with God, one of those is peace. And that will be as just a huge help in your marriage with your partner. If you have peace in your heart, he or she cannot give you that peace. Only God can. Long-suffering or patience. Who has a lot of patience here? I'm sure there's people here that have more than I do. Let's just put it that way. A fruit of the Spirit of an intimate relationship with God is patience. God is patient with us. The same patience allows grace and forgiveness in our marriage. Gentleness. God's kindness leads us. Gentleness softens our hearts, builds trust between each other. It produces goodness. God is good. Choosing what's right builds character and trust in the relationship. Faith, God is faithful. Consistency and loyalty create a strong foundation in marriage. And humility, that's a huge one. Humility. I just don't find myself with a lot of humility. But God is faithful when we pursue him to give me a humble heart and to help see my spouse differently and the people around me with humility. Because pride and selfishness, the big eye, as my dad used to say, that's the big eye coming out in you. It's the me. The world doesn't revolve around me. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Humility that God can give us when we have an intimate relationship with him. Humility disarms pride and allows you to serve one another. Meekness. Temperance. God is in control. Self-control guards your words, actions, and desires, protecting your marriage. Words are like just these little arrows that can just go out and just pierce your spouse so quickly. I'm guilty of it. And the more that I can stay in the Word, the more that I can pray, the more that I can ask God to give me eyes to see and ears to hear, the less I say these kind of things to all the people around me, but for sure my spouse. These fruits are God's character in us. As they grow, we become more like him, and they naturally overflow into a healthier, stronger, more Christ-centered marriage. So that's my encouragement tonight. If whatever season you're in, figure out whatever it is in your life, maybe with your spouse, how you can both hold each other accountable, and maybe it's just for a couple months from here, the springboard, to just get excited about God again, learn about Him, and also almost all of the ones that we talked about tonight that help us have an intimate relationship with God, we can apply those to our spouse, almost every one of them. And it'll be transformational. As intimacy with God transforms us, we naturally become the kind of spouse our partner needs. We're more patient, more forgiving, more sacrificial. Not because we're trying harder, but because we're walking closer. It seems like a cheat code, but it's not. But it really is, but it takes effort. It takes work. Just a short recap in closing. God longs to be known. Intimacy grows through pursuit. Intimacy transforms us and our marriages. Bottom line, the depth of your intimacy with God will always set the ceiling for the depth of the intimacy in your marriage. I think that's true. Pretty sure. The challenge, one daily step to pursue God this week, one intentional way to pursue your spouse. I think with that I'll close. There's handouts that were given to you. I figured those you could maybe use for later to generate conversation, and just a recap of what was shared tonight. Hopefully those can be a blessing to you. And as was shared by Marion, I'm really, really excited to be here this weekend as well. A little nervous, but really excited. I'm just, when I look around, I have a lot of friends that are not from religious background, if you will, or don't go to conservative settings, the chaos in their lives. And I just, it breaks my heart. They just have horrible marriages, split children. And I'm excited about marriage tonight. I'm so excited that we're together to pursue God in our marriage, because the world needs it. We truly need it. Our neighbors need to see it. We need it in the church. We need it. It's so important. So I want to be here. I want to serve tonight, or here this weekend, and learn. There's so much I have to learn and be a blessing. And I hope to get to talk to a lot of you here.